Thank you for listening to Servants for Christ. In all that we do and all that we say, we want to give glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for tuning us in as we get into the wonderful Word of God. For the next few minutes, let's take the beautiful Word of God and share it with each and every one of you as we have a sense of anticipation to take the Word of God and to listen to its truth for each and every one. Sunday night message on the series Counting Down from the Top. Here in our fourth series and our seventh commandment, we talk to you out of Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. Here tonight, we call it the Sacred Covenant of Faithfulness. When we look and realize that here he says that you shall not commit adultery. He's dealing with our society of harmony. He's dealing with our fidelity. And he's also talking about our relationship with others. Remember, you counting down from the top, amen. When we look here, April the 28th, 2024, the 20th of Nisan, 5784 of the Hebrew calendar. I'm glad. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Take your Bibles, if you would, over to Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, as we open up with the power of prayer. Heavenly Father, may you give us guidance and wisdom as we open our hearts and minds to receive your word. Let it transform our lives. May its presence be felt among us as we look at the sacred truths of marriage. And Lord, as we reflect on your commandments, grant us wisdom and strength to honor that sacred covenant of the faithfulness in our relationships. And may your spirit guide us in the path of righteousness and integrity in Jesus' marvelous mighty name. Amen. Well, you know, when we look and realize that the sacred covenant of faithfulness in the seventh commandment, the world is marred by broken promises and shattered trust. God's commandment stands as a beacon of hope, guiding us toward our relationships that should be built on loyalty and integrity. And now as we get into the wonderful Word of God, I'm glad that we're able to take the Word of God and we look at the sacred covenant of faithfulness. Amen. Here, the first that we look at, we're reminded as well. I heard about an old couple sitting by a fireside, and he looked over at her, and he had a romantic thought and said, "After 50 years, I have found you tried and true." And the wife's hearing wasn't very good, so she said, "What?" He repeated, "After 50 years, I found you tried and true. After 50 years, I'm tired of you too," she replied. "Well, you know what? I know that that's not how your marriage will be after 50 years. I know how 50 years and more of marriage, by the grace of God, can be wonderful. God wants our marriages to be absolutely splendid. And the key is found in the seventh commandment." In Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, God's word says, "With no stutter, no stammer, no apology, no compromise, thou shalt not commit adultery." You know, generations come and generations go, but the Ten Commandments have been standing ever since. When it comes to God's standard for moral purity, we need to remind ourselves that God's law don't need to be amended. It doesn't need to be revised. We're broken on them if we try to break them. The Bible says that his commandments are not grievous in 1 John 5:3. They are God's law for liberty. So when God says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," we need to write that law on our hearts, because if the law of God is only on the outside, it will be a rule, a regulation, and a restraint. But if it's on the inside, if the righteousness of the law is fulfilled within us, then God's law brings us liberty and release. You know, the Great Wall of China was built over hundreds of years to keep China's northern enemies from invading. And so the Great Wall is so wide that chariots could ride across the top. It's one of the few man-made objects that astronauts can see from outer space as they look back on the Earth. But the Great Wall did not keep the enemy out. You know why? All the enemy had to do was bribe a gatekeeper. And despite the massive wall, there was an enemy on the inside that let the enemy on the outside in. So it is with our lives. The gatekeeper of our hearts is on the inside. That gatekeeper must be faithful, or the walls of restraint and the laws of God's word will do us no good. And so, the seventh commandment deals with all the forms of immorality. What it says is that all sexual involvement outside of marriage, whether premarital or extramarital sex, is a grievous sin against Almighty God. You know, back in the late 60s, we're told that the Ten Commandments, and especially this one, they were out of date. They were old-fashioned. But a so-called new morality, which was really the old immorality, was announced, and millions of young people followed it and were sucked in to the swinging sewers of sin. But the new morality had a huge toll on our society, and we're paying the bill as all of the sexually transmitted diseases ravage the generations and homes that are coming apart at the seams. The world continues to defy God's commandments as immorality of all kinds comes out of the closet and into the public spotlight. And so, I'm glad that when we look and we realize one of the key things for all of us, amen, is that, first of all, we see the values shift like sand, but we can secure the treasure and make our marriages magnificent. And so how do we do that? How do we guard the sacred covenant of faithfulness? Number one, we embrace God's blueprint, amen, for marriage, amen. That's how we guard. That's how we guard the sacred covenant of faithfulness, amen. One of the first things that we see is the priority of marriage, because in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, we find the blueprint for marriage. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Marriage holds the highest priority, surpassing even the parent-child relationship. Parents must prepare their children to establish their own homes, fostering independence and commitment. You see, that's the problem. They ain't learning nothing at home no more, because there's not even two parents at home to teach them. There's always one parent homes because something has happened in the marriage that has disrupted all of this. And so we see the priority of marriage, amen, that has happened. What is God's plan for marriage, amen? His word gives it to us, as we said in Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 down to verse 24. Here is all of the marriage distilled down into its purest essence. Everything that you need to teach your children. How to make a wonderful marriage. How to be as successful in keeping the seventh commandment is found right here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, amen, that I read just a few minutes ago. And so that's the blueprint for marriage, amen. Any marital advice that we give will supply the enlargement or an extrapolation of that verse. And so, leave and cleave is the priority of that marriage, amen. Parents that pamper their kids often excuse it by saying, I just want to give my children all the things my parents were never able to give me. Well, that makes me wonder, are you giving your children the things that your parents did give you? Here's what I mean. You know, were you raised in a home where we didn't have a lot of extra things, but we grew up and all of a sudden, we might not have had the money to spend on the luxuries. We never knew what it was about eating out, but I'm glad that we always eat in. Sometimes when we go through life, we begin to realize that the priority of marriage is one of the most powerful things. That marriage is not a temporary arrangement. It's a lifelong covenant sealed by God himself. Mark 10:9 emphasizes, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Couples must prioritize their commitment about monetary struggles, understanding that love is a decisive, not just a feeling. And so, how do we guard the sacred covenant of faithfulness? Well, we embrace God's blueprint for marriage. We obey the priority of marriage, the permanence of marriage, but thirdly, the purpose of marriage. Beyond physical union, marriage signifies emotional, spiritual oneness. It's a partnership where two become one, cultivating a love that grows with time. Ephesians 5:25 instructs husbands to love their wives sacrificially, echoing the divine love between Christ and his church. Like a violin and its bow, marriage creates the most beautiful harmony when both partners unite in love and commitment. Amen. Adrian Rogers said one time, God made marriage. He did not make it for his pleasure only, but for yours and for mine. And so, I'm glad. Beth Moore said one time, marriage is a sacred covenant. It's not a contract that is easily broken, but a commitment that requires work, sacrifice, and unconditional love, unquote. And so, I'm glad that when we're able to guard the sacred covenant of faithfulness, we embrace God's blueprint for that marriage because of the priority of marriage, the permanence of it, the purpose of it, praise God. Amen. But secondly, not only do we embrace God's blueprint for marriage, but secondly, we heed God's warning against adultery. Amen. Because what we see is there's a sin against self. And through that sin against self, amen, we see that Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, he warns us to flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Adultery inflicts deep wounds, harming not only our relationship, but also our own soul. And so we see that a sin against self, as we heed God's warning against adultery, but secondly, a sin against the home, because adultery shatters the sanctity of the home, leaving scars on the spouses and children. And parents who betray their marriage vows sow seeds of distrust and instability, damaging the very foundation of family life. And so, as we look and realize that as we heed God's warning against adultery, a sin against self, a sin against the home, we also see a sin against the church and nation because immorality reverberates beyond the individual and the home, staining the fabric of society. It defies the temple of God, invites his righteous judgment upon nations, and adultery erodes the moral fiber that upholds the community, echoing the downfall of ancient empires. And so, how many of us remember the story of David? As a sobering reminder of the consequences of adultery with Bathsheba and the importance of repentance before God, amen. And so, everybody has problems in marriage, but you'd better watch a man who says he understands woman because he'll lie about other things too. One man walked into the kitchen, found his wife in tears, and I believe this was the worst meal I've ever cooked, she cried. No, it isn't, he said, trying to console her. It's dangerous being married, but get rid of the idea of divorce because I'm going to tell you something. You could take your scissors and cut that word out of your mental dictionary. Divorce is the only game in which both players lose. No fault divorce is a contradiction. And so all married people have problems. But why take the 90% of a marriage that is working fine and throw it away because of the 10% that's in trouble? That's simply a lack of commitment. And so, when we look and realize that marriage is a romance in which both the hero and the heroine die in the first chapter. But it's okay because they become one new person. Marriage is like that violin, as I said earlier. A violin without a bow produces no music. A bow without a violin also produces no music. But when the two come together, they make some beautiful music. And that's the way marriage is. God takes two people and he makes them into one, praise God. You know, study found that 72% of married traditionalists reported sexual satisfaction. But that 31% higher than the unmarried non-traditionalists and 13% higher than the married non-traditionalists. But the study went on to show that sexually happy people also tend to go to church. But some two-thirds of the responders who attend church weekly are very satisfied with their sex lives compared to barely half of those who never attend church. Amazing. When all else fails, go back and read the directions because we're not smarter than God. Marriage is for more than the propaganda of the race. It's for mutual love and comfort and joy. God loves us. And when he says, thou shalt not commit adultery, he's not trying to keep you from sex. He's trying to keep sex for you. And sex is his wonderful gift to be enjoyed within marriage and the marriage commitment and the marriage vow. Because the writer of Hebrews said, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. So I thank God, every one of us, when we look and realize that we see not only the embracing God's blueprint for marriage and heeding God's warning against marriage. Amen. I'm glad that here we look and realize that not only that, but thirdly, we see modeling God's commandment for purity. Amen. And so when we do that, we make a personal decision. True purity begins with a personal commitment to Christ. And through his grace, we find forgiveness and strength to live lives that honor him. Amen. And so I'm glad as we look and realize that not only making a personal decision, amen, but secondly, demonstrating dependence. Our dependence on Christ empowers us to resist temptation and remain faithful in our marriages. His Spirit enables us to love sacrificially and unconditionally, amen. So we make that personal decision, amen, as we model God's commandments for purity. We demonstrate that dependence, amen. But thirdly, we cultivate devotion. Love is not a static emotion, but a dynamic force that grows with nurturing and devotion. Couples must invest in their relationship, continually seeking to deepen their love and their understanding. And I'm glad that when we practice discipline, discipline guards our hearts and minds, guides us away from the temptation toward righteousness. By exercising discernment and self-control, we uphold the purity of our marriage, amen. And so, when we do that, I'm glad that we're able to have that determination, that steadfastness to honor God and our spouses anchors us amid all of the storms of life. With resolve and commitment, we declare, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. And so I'm glad just as Christ forgave the adulterous woman and offered her a new beginning, so too can he restore and renew marriages that have faltered. Amen. Don't throw in the towel if you've broken or you've faltered in your marriage. Try to make sure that you can work it out before you throw all of it away. Amen. The wisdom of Proverbs says, whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, but he that doeth it destroy his own soul. Why does the adulterer destroy his own soul? Because he has sinned against God, and the Ten Commandments are not advice. They are holy laws, and the penalty and the consequences for disobedience are very serious. Don't get the idea that a pure life is just an option that you may choose as a Christian. If you're not living a life of sexual purity, you have no right to call yourself a Christian. I didn't say that, but look at what the Bible says. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infidels, nor abusers of themselves with mankind that shall inherit the kingdom of God. And so, each and every one of us, as we go through life, we've got to be able to model God's commandment. And as we model God's commandment for purity, amen, I'm glad we can pour out our love to Christ and to our family, because God gives us a supernatural love for others. Godly love is not simply an emotion that you turn off and on. But when a man or a woman, as they come together and make a commitment for life, I'm glad they model God's commitment for purity, amen. And so, as we do that, I'm glad that you can let your love continue to grow, even though we use all of the resources. Love is more like a flower. It's got to be cultivated. It's got to be nurtured so that it can grow. If a man doesn't love his wife more now than the day they got married, he loves her less. Love is never static. Boy, I thank God. Keep the honey in the honeymoon. Amen. That's what I've always been told. Keep the honey in the honeymoon. And so, you know what? Every one of us, when we discipline ourselves, we've got to be able to guard our company. Friends who urge you to sin are not friends. Watch what you put in front of your eyes. If you sit in front of the television with your remote control, things are going to appear on the screen that you should not be watching. And I'm telling you, we've got to have determination. We've got to have discipline in order to do that. God's plan, God's command is purity, both inside and outside of marriage. Amen. And so I thank God when we turn to those commitments, begin praying and asking the Lord to give you what you need. Because in order to keep the sacred and guard the sacred covenant of marriage, amen, we've got to embrace God's blueprint for that marriage. Secondly, we've got to heed God's warning against adultery. And thirdly, we've got to model God's commandment for purity, amen. I'll tell you, as we embrace God's blueprint, honor its priority, permanence, and purpose. Let us heed his warning against adultery. Safeguard the sanity of our homes and communities. And we model purity and devotion, cultivating the marriage that reflects the sacrificial love of Christ. May our unions be a testament to his grace and a beacon of hope in a world longing for true love and commitment. We've got to go forth. We've got to be able to go forth, amen. And may your marriage shine brightly, amen, as well. Timothy Keller said one time, the Bible begins and ends with a wedding. And this tells us that marriage is not just a human institution, but a divine design reflecting the deepest truth about God's love for his people, amen. Thank God as we look and realize that the sacred covenant of faithfulness, amen, is all about keeping ourselves according to the covenants of God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful word of God and the gift of marriage and the wisdom found in your word. As we depart from this place, Lord, as we go our separate ways, those that are listening to this Sunday night message, I pray that the truth would dwell richly, guide our steps, shape our relationships, grant us the strength to uphold your commandments and the grace to extend forgiveness and love, because all of this, Lord, we ask in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.